Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week and share the next hour with you guys. It's middle of 2017 already, almost, and so much is going on since the election and in the United States and all around the world, other elections in Europe and overseas in other areas. And so we hope that everybody's enjoying their time and just growing, and our network is growing by leaps and bounds, which is just so fun. It really, really makes you realize how small our planet Earth really is. And giving back, you know, is so important for all of us. And today we're going to do a mixture, a combination show, and talking about solar energy, a company named Power, and that's spelled P-O-W-U-R. As typical for me, we're probably not going to take any breaks, so we'll just roll right through it. Ted Coates. I'm so privileged to have our guest on today, and we're going to learn a lot. He's an icon in the real estate industry, and he's going to join us and talk about life and changes and where he, how he came to today. He's mentored so many people, and power, solar energy, which is just helping people as well, and I'll let Ted get into that. Part of Ted's story, I'm going to start from the end, and then I'll let him tell us the rest of the story when we get back into the get to the beginning. Ted says, my broker was a guy by the name of Hyman Adler. He was one of the best men who ever came into my life. When I told him what had happened, his face lit up, and he grabbed me and hugged me and said, my boy, that's the best thing they could have done for you. I was thinking, oh, really? Well, I went to work. At the end of 3 years, I got my broker's license and became an associate broker. And within 3 years after that, I became a sales manager. He taught me the business from A to Z, including how to buy at auctions. Time had passed, and Hyman was in his 80s and still growing strong. But he must have sensed something. He started talking about retiring, and we cut a deal, and I purchased the business. He and I shared an office for about a year or so, and then he passed away. I purchased a real estate franchise and grew the company from 15 agents to over 100. I've downsized it now, but in the 37 years in the business, it's the only real estate company I had ever been associated with. And that's me, and as you can see, this is not my first rodeo. Ted Coates. Without further ado, I'm going to welcome Ted Coates, and we're going to, I'll listen in to hear the rest of the story. Welcome, Ted.
Hi, Natalie. I'm so glad to be able to talk with you today.
Oh, I'm thrilled. I'm so thrilled. And I wish Vera Proctor was here to listen in, because I know she thought the world of you, too.
And thank you. Yeah, it's just, you meet so many wonderful people, and it's wonderful to be able to grow in life and meet great people, and people have an influence on your life, and you influence other people's lives, and that's what it's all about, or at least that's what it should be about.
Absolutely. Serving, and wouldn't you wish we all learned that lesson when we were real little, huh?
yeah. Yeah, if we could just get to our youth and instill that same those same principles into their lives, it would be a lot easier for them because they always swim upstream, and there's nothing wrong with swimming upstream sometimes, but you shouldn't have to do it all the time.
No, and it's I agree with you. Well, let me your story though, if you don't, because we're going to go in and talk about power, which is so amazing, and I'm just
okay.
excited that you're bringing it to everybody. But I want to hear your story because a lot of the listeners are agents and brokers, but we also have buyers, sellers, regular public, and many people listen later. And we're all about. I mean, and you know, being in the industry in real estate for as long as you've been in it, you have to have a servant's heart. I don't think anyone can get into the real estate sales for years without having a servant's heart. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. One of the lessons that I've learned a long time ago was to get away from any idea that made the idea of what you do money-driven. When you're in a business and you love the business and you put time and effort in and you're trying to help people, you concentrate on helping people. And I think it was Zig Ziglar said, if you help enough people get what they want, then you'll end up getting what you want. So that was my mantra, is that I didn't care about how many hours it took me to work with somebody, get them into a home, but to see the look on their face when the keys were handed to them. And in many times, these were generations of people who they were the very first generation ever to own a home.
Wow.
So you just get these kind of rewards, and that's what I always got out of this business as I worked it. In addition to helping agents in the office, again with agents, I always said that as I interviewed an agent to bring them in. I would not bring an agent in that didn't want to grow. And if I brought the agent in the office as the broker, I always felt it was my responsibility to train them in a manner that they could go out and give excellent service.
That's a great interview technique, I think, in the beginning, huh? Because sometimes you're interviewing agents and they say they want to know what you're going to give them and not what they're going to do to grow. I think
right.
That's a good
and
yeah.
That says it all. So if you get somebody that's coming, you know whether they're going to be a selfish person or a self-giving person, and so you try to surround yourself and build with self-giving persons and. Real estate's a beautiful business. It's been great to me. When I first thought about getting into real estate, I was finishing up some college courses, and one of the electives that I had or was supposed to take was canceled. And so the lady said, well, why don't you take real estate? I said, well, I don't want to be in real estate.
She said,
you can take it for your own personal knowledge. I got into, took the course and went through with flying colors. And I said, well, I'm not taking the state test. And then I said, well, you know what? It's a challenge because back then when we took the state test, we could not use calculators. I mean, you had
I remember that in 85 when I took mine.
Yes.
Yeah.
You had to do all the math by hand and turn the paper in to show how you worked out each problem. Quite a difference today.
Very different. So some things we work hard for, we appreciate more, huh? No.
Oh, yeah.
It's very
yes.
different. It's
yes.
Wow. I love what you – well, tell us, because when in introduction, I said we're going to listen in to hear the rest of your story. Well, you have been an avid entrepreneur from – how old were you when you actually started – you had a wagon, a radio flyer? Like, tell us that.
Yeah, I feel like I've worked all my life. I had a radio wagon, a radio flyer wagon. So I lived in Catonsville, and I used to go, huh?
What is that? It's like.
It's like
I'm
a wagon. You see
myself.
These little wagons, the little red wagons, and it has wooden sides on it.
And, oh, right, I remember that. And that's what you call
radio.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
So I used to pull the wagon, and I'd go down and sit in front of the – they had an Acme Market, a supermarket there. Well, it wasn't much of a supermarket, but it was a food market. And I used to wait for the people to come out, and I would ask them – the parking lot was in the back of the store – So they would put their bags in my wagon, and I would pull them down to their car and for tips. I did that for quite a while, and I was too young. The manager kept saying, well, you're too young to work. You can't even get a working permit. But eventually he let me come in and start, like, stocking shelves. And he kind of, you know, paid me under the table. But as I got a little older, I got a paper route, so I've served papers, and my father was self-employed, so it always gave me that different look at being employed or going to work from 9 to 5 versus being self-employed. So I guess I had an edge on things from that perspective, but. I had the paper route, and anything, it seems like I was always looking anything that was entrepreneurial. I mm-hmm. wanted to get into it. But I ended up, once I went in the Army and came out, I went back to school. I ended up getting a job as a claims adjuster, and I thought that was going to be to catch me out. And then I went to work for a pharmaceutical company for a while. And I got my real estate license, and I was doing it part-time. That's when the pharmaceutical company found out I had a real estate license, so they wanted me out of real estate because I kept turning down promotions. They wanted to move me all around the country, and I would always turn it down. So they finally caught up with me about 7-8 months later, and they gave me the alternative to give back my company car and or turn in my real estate license. So
you had to be
I
committed
gave back
only
the
to
company
that.
Car. Yes.
You did it? Well, that's it, your story. But you were married at the time, right? I was reading your story.
Oh, yes.
So you were married at the time, right? Did you have your daughter?
It was so funny. I was married at the time. I had just put a contract on a house, and it was so funny because when my regional manager came down, he met me at one of the restaurants in the morning, and so he says, are you going to get out of real estate? And I pondered for a while, and I said, if I let these guys do this to me now, I said, they got me. They've got me from here on out.
And being an entrepreneur, it's kind of you're like, oh, yeah.
Well, but, you know, I was thinking of the fact that, like, you know, you got a wife, you got a kid. What are you doing here? So,
right, you're kind of like, you're
I
probably
called
in shock.
Bluff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I ended up calling this bluff, and he called my district manager up. They took me back to my house. And they drove off with the car and all the samples and everything that I had that belonged to the company.
And you're in the middle of buying the house, though, so didn't you need your income to buy the house to qualify?
Well, you want to hear a funny story. This, when we sat there at the table and I told him I was going to I would leave the company, he handed me my work verification. He said, did
you forget
this?
Oh, how cool. That's nice.
And I said, okay. So my wife was working about maybe a mile or two away from where we live, and she had the other car, the real car that we had. So I walked the 2 miles, and when I walked up to her office, she saw me coming, and she looked at me. She goes, what's wrong? And I said, does it show that much? She goes, yeah, you look like somebody died. And I said, well, I no longer have a job. They gave me an alternative either to get out of real estate, and I refused to do it. She says, here's the keys to the car. You know, just pick me up Tom Cupid's Get Off, she said.
Oh, that's
you don't need them.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And so, you know, I said, okay, that's half the battle there. I feel real good here. So I walked
exactly.
into the real estate office that day, and Hyman saw me come in, and he said, what's wrong, Ted? And I said, told him what happened. And that's when he told me, he goes, you know what? You can swim. They pushed you in the pool. Now, swim. You don't need them. He said, it's the best thing that they ever could do for you.
Wow,
so,
that's fantastic.
Yeah. So, and from then on, I never looked back. I never looked back. And he was very supportive in every way. And I ended up getting a house anyway. And so
wow.
everything worked out fine.
That is wonderful. It's you know, us entrepreneurs are kind of like we end up landing on our feet where some people are afraid to do it, and it's really important to not have the fear, isn't it? And you think that it's so important to not have the fear and go for your dreams.
Absolutely, and you know it was this book I read called Quantum Leap, and it talked about basically when you need to do something, you know, go ahead and take the leap. You know, you can prepare and prepare all you want, and you still may not be ready. But when you have the courage and the faith to take that leap, you know, it will work for you. You'll have a good landing.
Amazing, isn't it? It's amazing.
Yeah.
It really does work. I didn't have any fear when I downsized Maryland to go to Hawaii with my son, two dogs, and my books, and my, you know, I had already done so much, and it was like I had no fear to go and not know anybody at the time, since I, you know, as an adult. It's amazing, Ed, when you sometimes look back, how it just all kind of fell into place, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the story that may not have been there, and I don't talk about it a whole lot, is that this was back in early 2000s, around there. I always wanted, even when I went in the Army, I was afraid to do it because I was afraid they'd throw me out of a plane over Vietnam. But
congrats.
I always
Thank
wanted
you for serving, by the way. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I always wanted to skydive. So one Saturday, I went up to Lowell, Delaware by myself, and I went up to this place where they parachute and set in classes for a little while, and they instruct you and show you pictures and all of this. And so the first time I jumped that day was I jumped in tandem with an instructor, Howard, and he kept telling me, he says, look, you know, you're a big guy, I'm a big guy. If you get out there and you freak out on me and you don't, he said, you're going to get us both killed. I said, well, I don't want to die. So it was so funny. We went up to 10,000 feet.
Oh, my gosh, my stomach.
We stepped out on the wing of this Piper Cub. And he said, when I tap you on the shoulder, we go. So he tapped me on the shoulder. We pushed off. And it was like something that is so hard to describe. But after thinking about it, it opened up a whole new world for me. And not that I would ever encourage anybody to do that. But
wow.
It was an example to me that if you have dreams, if you have aspirations to do things, do it. You know, step out and just do it. And since my faith in God is so strong, I walk
Amen.
By faith.
Amen.
So.
Me too. Amen. It's so true. It's awesome. Wow. I can't imagine. I was going to do skydiving when my son was 2 or 3 years old, and I remember my ex-mother-in-law having a fit. She said, how dare you, because you'd be, you know, I was split up, and how could you do that? There wouldn't be anybody here for him. And she talked me out of it, and now I think I'm too chicken. But that must have been that must be the most exhilarating experience, though, when you're coming down, huh? Coming out
of
there.
Oh, my God,
wow.
It is. It really is. And then I went back, and I jumped. I made 3 more jumps. I jumped Wadatic Line from about 5,000 feet. where you get out and the chute pops up and opens. And then I went back up to 10,000 feet and I jumped two more times solo. It was.
They let you do it that fast?
My daughter went berserk. I mean, it was like, Dad, is this going to be your job? Why are you doing this? You proved your point. You don't need to do this anymore.
Aww,
and so she made me promise that I would not do it again. So,
you wouldn't make it your job. It wouldn't be your hobby.
That's for sure.
Oh, gosh. That is so amazing. It's leadership. You know, you have leadership written all over you, and it just and faith in God just kind of gives us those wings to fly, doesn't it? It all gives us that energy.
Absolutely does. I often say when I'm in church and testimony or whatever, I said, you know, I pity anybody. Mr. T, who used to remember him, who used to come on, he said, I pity the fool. It was his favorite words. And I always say, I pity the fool that don't know God and have God in their life.
I'm telling you what, it's like without God, I wouldn't be here. You know, no, really, because it's just amazing. And the more we learn and get into the scripture and have that relationship is just Goliath, right? David and Goliath. It's like that,
right.
You know, and it's just amazing, amazing. And the serving that comes from it, too. It's just so beautiful. It's just all these things I wish we just got when we were little, you know, that we got. You know, I always believed in God since I was a child. I never doubted God. But, you know, it's just the more and more and more things through my life, there's no doubt, you know, no doubt at all. It's just amazing.
Right.
But,
or you grow to see the whole picture, you know, and I guess it takes getting older to do it. But all the things that you do throughout your life make you who you are today. So
seeing those miracles, you know, the miracles. It's almost like we have a tether to pray, you know, praying in connection with our spirit and soul. And you see the miracles and this happens and this happens. And you're like, that's not an accident. That just is not an accident. That's just too coincidental. You know what I mean? Like it's just constantly. And then when you praise and you give glory, it's really real. It's not this made up stuff. Some people that don't believe think, you know, it is, and it's not. And, amen. You can tell I get very excited.
If people get excited at baseball games, I can get excited over what God's done in my life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I've got to. I read your story. I was reading your story, and I'm just. It's so entrepreneurial, and can you tell us, before we can go into what you're doing with serving with power and the benefit to the world with that as well, can you tell us the story about when you were cleaning floors in the grocery store? Because I think that's such a good story for people to hear.
Yeah, when you're young, you have all this pride and whatever. And
right.
The last thing I wanted to see was somebody walk in the store and see me with a mop in my hand.
Nothing wrong with it, but when you're young, I get it, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you're young, and so
and you're a
you
guy,
know, it was
and you're
always
like at the time when you know. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So and this the manager in the store, he used to really make me mad because it was like. He didn't say we need a mop in aisle five. It was like, Dad, Coach, we need an aisle in five. And I'm going, oh, God. So sometimes I would drag my feet getting there and whatever. I was just.
Oh, no.
I would. So anyway, one day I was cleaning up an aisle, and the gentleman, I think I might have been switched outside to helping people put their bags in the car, and this gentleman came by, and he was saying, how you doing, and whatever. We got into a conversation, and I was telling him, I said, you know, I really hate my job because I don't like, you know, cleaning up, and I don't like them calling my name over their loudspeaker and whatever. And he said, young man, he said, do you realize why I come to this store? And he said, many other people come for the same reason. He said, the store is always clean. He said, and you are the person responsible for that. He said, so your job is more important than the manager's job. He said, so whatever you do in your life, you always learn to do it the very best that you can. That's your job. And whatever your job is, always do it, do the best job. And he said that is
exactly
the way it's going to help you to grow from here to where you want to go. He said, but if you don't, if you miss the importance of what you're doing, he said, then you'll never appreciate or you'll never get to where you really want to be. So I thought about it. I said, wow. So from that point on, I never minded cleaning up the aisles anymore. In fact, I probably did a little extra to make sure that I got everything up and all the glass or whatever. But it's and when I look back on that, I like, wow. I learned an important lesson then. I didn't realize how important the lesson was, but those are the things that kind of groove you and mm-hmm. mold you into the person that you need to be.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's like when people say, well, I don't know. They're in a position where you ask questions. I don't know. It's not my job. I have to ask somebody else. I don't know. Instead of saying, let me find out for you. Or, I'm not going
right.
to make the coffee because it's beneath me. It's like, are you kidding? Are you serious? It's like, and you're right. That's such a good lesson to learn. I always think about, like, for example, say a janitor in a high school, right? For an example, that is such an important job. Because that
Absolutely.
Man is getting to talk to so many kids. You don't know how many lives he may be changing, or she. I don't know what do they call it, janitorious? I don't know. The how many lives, right? And we don't know who we're touching every day. And, Jesus, of course, hung out with all kinds of people, right? And didn't judge people that way.
Yes.
I love that. I love that lesson in that story because it's like, are you, it kind of reminds me of when you mentioned the interviewing, if somebody was, like, really serving or wanting to grow or saying, hey, what are you going to give me,
right.
It's a great lesson because, if people are listening now and they are those people that have been maybe raised or taught to be bitter or just what's in it for me, you can change. Every day we can change. That's the beautiful part about getting older is we're supposed to grow. We're not supposed to forget our past, right, but we're supposed to grow. And I love that. But I always say the devil's in the details, and that's what drives me crazy in an office setting because there's things that may be missed. You're like, you can't miss it. You've got to dot your I's, cross your T's. But that's a good lesson. We don't have laziness, right?
No. Believe me, I mean, you realize how important you come to a point where you realize how important life is and what an important part you play in it. And you may not be the world to everybody, but you might be the world to one person. What you do for that person might mean the whole world to them. So, and you can't look at trying to do everything for everybody, but you do can. And I sat on the board of this boys' foster care home, and I used to talk to the kids all the time and talk to them about how it is important because some of these kids had been abused, lied to, and just mistreated so much that they didn't trust anybody. So it took a long time of talking to them to get their trust. And some of those kids were coming out of there that were, they were amazing how they turned their lives around in 2 to 3 years and how much better they were doing in school. And it was all about having somebody care and tell them that you love them. I mean, people today are afraid to tell people that they love them, even their own parents, their siblings or whatever. And I never get off the phone with my daughter, my sisters, or any of my relatives or people that I know well and say, hey, I love you. I mean, it's what God expects of us. And
I think
people,
some families are tight-knit. They never said it. They just never said it for years, and then it's so different. People get closed mouth. I mean, there's, so many generational issues, and it's really It really is. And I think also that boundary, too, because some people could be a doormat, and you don't want to be a doormat to everybody, but you still want to serve, right? So it's really a fine line, but you can never love enough. You can never put your heart out enough, you know. And I was talking to some people earlier today, and the one gentleman was saying, I'm doing and doing for people all the time, but no one's reciprocating. And I said, I get that feeling at times. I've had this different in my life, you know, but I know that it's okay, because what we're doing to serve is going to come back in other ways and help other people. So those seeds are planted just like a farmer planting a harvest. And it's going to come back, and it's okay. We don't have to give something for everything we're doing. You know what I mean? It's just kind
right.
of a,
and,
it's
and,
a beautiful, beautiful thing.
And truly, when you give without any expectation of getting something back, you know, that was something that it took time for me to develop, but I got to a point where when I give or I do something for somebody, I don't expect anything back from them. It will come back. I've seen it time and time again that where I've done something for somebody and they couldn't possibly have paid me back, or they couldn't have possibly or weren't in a position. But somewhere along the line, when I needed something, I got it. And that's where our blessings come from. That's where our blessings come from, when we give without any expectations of somebody reciprocating and giving it back. If I lent you $10 one time and you turned around and lent me a dime because I needed that dime bad enough maybe to make another total, but I needed that dime as bad as you needed that $10, to me, that all equals out, you know?
Exactly. It's awesome. It's just fantastic. It's just something that it's such a blessing to serve and help and get that, and it gives you that energy and strength to go on, because we all get tired as we get older, more than when we're younger, I think. Just that's human nature. and it gives us that strength and that power to say no. God has a plan, and we're supposed to be part of it and do the right thing. So, you know, now it brings us to what you're doing with power and solar energy, and I think we can offer this to a lot of people, and I'm just going to switch us around. If we could take a quick break, but if you're good, we'll just keep on rolling.
We can keep on going.
Okay, because this goes by so fast. We got like about 27 minutes here. So wait, I'm just so impressed, and I just remember you're definitely an icon, and my hat's off to everything you've done, and you keep on doing. And so tell us what power is, and how it's shaping the solar industry, and why. I know you wouldn't get into anything you didn't thoroughly check out and thoroughly endorse and believe in if you didn't, you know. So I'll turn it over to you to. Tell us about it.
Okay. As you know that for years and years and still in many places, the utility companies have had a monopoly on the power and how much we pay, and they set the rates themselves, supposedly the utility commission does, but charges pretty much, well, whatever they want. And those charges, they get rate hikes every year. So every year, our rates for the utility companies go up. Mm-hmm. Solar has been around for quite a while, but like most technology, has gotten to a point now where it's affordable now for everybody. And power, the company, looks at itself as, if you look around the world, you'll see Uber, who has disrupted the transportation world.
Absolutely.
Uber doesn't own a car. They don't have offices all over the place. But yet they have completely overrun the transportation world. If you look at Airbnb, they have disrupted the hotel industry. They have
Didn't
more
that two
rooms
or three guys
available.
Start that? Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes. And they have more rooms available now than all the hotels put together. It's amazing. Mm. And they don't own a building, you know. So power is kind of the Uber of solar. We are disrupting the utility companies across the nation, the world, hopefully. And so what we do is we are a concierge service where we have vendors. In, say, for instance, in Maryland right now, we have three. And so what we do is we help the people, the homeowners, pick the very best vendor or company, installation company, for them.
Okay.
The installation, we first urge people to get a free solar proposal. It takes about a half an hour. We get them on the phone with the vendor. The vendor goes through. They have a satellite that comes down on their roof. It shows them what the panels are going to look like on their roof. The engineers look at their roof and make sure that, you know, the panels are going to be put on the roof in the right places to be most efficient. And it's no, to have panels put on your house, it is no, it's $0 out of your pocket. Okay. And the way it works is that the panels are what you need. The sun is free. The panels are what you need to convert that sun into energy. So when the panels are put on your house, then the vendors are set up so that they charge you a monthly fee, but you're not paying the utility company that same fee. So say in a lot of cases, say if the utility company is charging you 25 or 30 cents per kilowatt hour, then it will cost you with the solar panels maybe 15 cents or less per kilowatt hour. So you end up saving money. You end up paying less money than you would have been paying in the first place to the utility company. So over the period of the panels, I think they average, there's a 20-year contract. And over that 20-year period, the average is about savings of about $26,000.
And you, so, the cost of the solar panels, probably what about, because I know from just being in real estate, involved in some of the contracts,
one of the guys,
I've seen the amounts.
Yeah. One of the guys that is he lives here in Maryland, one of our sales, our vice president of sales. He has a pretty large house. He had $80,000 worth of panels put on his house.
Wow, it's
going
to be a large
house. Yeah, and it cost him absolutely not a penny out of his pocket. And he was paying, I think he said that he was paying, after all was said and done, when he works it out with the solar company, he's saving about $200 to $250 a month, less than what he was paying. So,
okay.
Because
I know, I think there were like around 18,000 maybe for, 18,000 I think for like 30, 40 panels. I'm just saying off the top of my head from some transactions I've been in where, you know, we're not involved in the panels except transferring them over unless they're bought outright. So is that that cost of the solar panels, they're just financing over 20 years or over a period of time?
It's yes, that's what the way that they get paid. Because in many cases, they have a lease program. So you're really leasing the panels. And when you lease the panels, again, what you're paying for is the panels being on your roof, but you're not paying the utility company the amount of money that you were paying them before, and the fact that you're helping the environment. I think there are several different programs that some people, the utility companies, have come out with, and they say that, you know, it reduces the cost. Well, it may reduce the cost, but the big thing is it doesn't save the environment. One of the things that got me involved in this and was really intriguing to me is global warming is real, and we all have a carbon footprint, and these solar panels are saving the environment. So even if they have a program that where they say, well, we can cut your rate back and give you a cheaper rate, they're still burning fossil fuels. They're still increasing. I think the CO2, the amount of CO2 in the air just surpassed the 4.0, which is, that was the danger mark. And I think it has just passed that. Yes.
Really?
So, and then not only is it the CO2, you have methane that comes from the burning of these fossil fuels. So when you look around at the world and that we live in and what's happening and where they have what disruptions that they have to do in order to get this fueling and to get these resources to burn. We are involved with a group called the Pachamama Alliance. And
what's it, Pachamama?
I'll send you some, it's called the Pachamama Alliance. And it's P-A-C-H-A-M-A-M-A Alliance. And the Pachamama Alliance, the their mission is to empower the indigenous people of the Amazon rainforest to preserve their lands and culture using insights gained from work, education, and to inspire individuals. To strive for a sustainable world. They ran across these people in the Ecuadorian rainforest who were completely isolated. They had were completely isolated from the outside world. What brought them out was all of a sudden they heard all of these noises and whatever, and it was the oil companies coming in, tearing down all the trees in the rainforest, and these people then had to come out. They made the connection with the Pachamama Alliance. So the Pachamama Alliance was able to stop, get these people to stop tearing up the rainforest and destroying these people's homes along with our ecosystem. So it to me, when I first got involved and before I knew all the details, it was just about, you know, putting panels on the roof. You know you're going to save people money, but now it's a whole different story. It's, again, global warming is for real, and if I can do something, you know, because everybody stands by and they watch and they say, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. Well, my theory is that I want to save the planet one roof at a time.
That's
what I say.
I love it, and I don't want to, because I know on the particulars of it, we'll have to. Oh gosh, I have to have you give your contact information. Everybody listening always knows too. They can go to radio. Not everyone, I mean, but through our links, radio@realityuniversal.com or realityuniversal.com, and sign up, and we'll pass on the information too. Because I know you said they've opened up in Hawaii now, and they're in other states as well, right? The power.
We are in 29 states now. We just went to Ontario, Canada, and we are in Hawaii. And the great part, and one of the big differences for what we're doing in Hawaii, is that we have these battery packs now that go along with the solar. So the people that get solar put on their house, they can store their own energy. So they could come, they could actually, even though they usually stay tied to the grid, they can come off the grid, or something happens
I mean, with the sun, like Hawaii, we have more sun in Hawaii than we would in Maryland, you know, depending on the time of year and the days. And then I know the heat, like in Hawaii, HECO with the converters, there were moratoriums where they couldn't get panels, and all that kind of stuff is kind of, I get, that's something else to work through that you already would know about, you know, when you're
well, and that has changed with us going into Hawaii. The people and the vendors that we're using in Hawaii now, getting the panels and getting them installed and all that, is something that was in the forefront. So
fantastic.
That is ready to go. Yeah. It's just exciting. I mean, for as long as I've worked,
I love it.
To still find something that you can be excited about and to still find something that you can give back.
I love it. Who started Power? Who started the whole,
It was a guy, his name is Jonathan Budd, and he is the CEO of the company. I've known him for about 10 years. And because I was doing some other internet marketing work and I was involved with him. And so when he came up with this, they've been doing this for about 3 years. And one of the president of the company is a guy by the name of Jim Bunch. Jim Bunch is the person that was the initiator or discovered this company called Bamboo when they first started doing videos
Bamboo.
Of the houses and
mm-hmm.
all that.
Mm-hmm.
So
very,
very smart people. And we just came back from Dallas, Texas at a conference. And there was such – Jonathan is very spiritual. And
awesome.
So when we're in these meetings, there's this spiritualness that's about the group and the people. And so, yes, everybody's there to make money. But everybody has their heart and soul in this thing, and everybody realizes how important this is to the planet and the rest of the whole world. But this planet needs what's going to happen. So this is one of the utility industry is a $6 trillion industry, and we are disrupting
yeah.
that.
I was listening in the last, 2 or 3 years, there's been more solar panels put on than in the last 15, 20. I mean, it's such a huge business going on, and it is saving energy, and it just makes so much sense all the way around, and money. And so basically Power is a kind of a network marketing company bought up and set up so that everybody's winning, right? You're actually, so people
right.
that are getting
we are,
in and
we
referring
are
people
considered-
can make money. Okay.
Yeah. We're considered to be a technology company, but we are set up on a network marketing platform. So
okay.
when you come in, you can if you wanted to come in and build a business, you could. If you wanted to come in and just do it yourself, you could. But there are many options there. But the more people that you can get involved that are helping to do this, the better.
I'm only cutting them because I see how fast an hour went by. We're like, oh, at the end of it, I always feel like I'm cutting people off because we're good. If somebody goes through Power and this is set up and you're kind of like the concierge to coordinate, to make sure everything's handled, right, rather than, and then you get a piece of it or commissions or network marketing,
right,
et cetera.
Right.
And the people that are signing up can probably join too and probably reap the benefits as well, I was thinking.
Absolutely.
The consumer doesn't pay any more because they come through Power versus if they just call
absolutely.
A solar company out of the book, right? No?
Right, absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, they end up getting better service because we are going to be that objective ear. We're going to be looking for the person's benefit and being able to tell them this is what's best for you. This is why it's best for you. So yeah, I mean,
okay.
It's like, you know, have a lawyer. Even though we don't act, we I want to make it plain, we do not practice law.
Well, just like us, we'll have lawyers call us in the real estate industry for advice, right? Because we've been in so long. But no, to the consumer,
right.
I'm sorry, I'm not an attorney or an accountant. You've got to call your. Exactly. But no, it's in the contract end, and that's pretty good. So I love it. So give us your contact information and also where to go if somebody wants to check this out through you, et cetera.
Okay. I'll start off with Ted Coates, and my telephone number is 410-340-4155. My site for people who want to go on and see what the solar is all about for their home is sunforsavings.com. sunsun.com. And that's
sun, S-U-N, okay.
For savings.com.
And is it F-O-R or a four?
For F-O-R.
For savings, S-A-V-I-N-G-S, with an S, right? Savings.
Uh-huh.
.com.
Right.
Okay.
And if somebody wants to get in,
so just an, what does it cost them to get in? I know we don't get a whole lot of that.
Yeah. It's a one-time fee of $4.99. Now, just real quickly, if anybody tried to set up a business, and we both know we've been in business, that you could not set up a business and be involved in a multi-million-dollar business for $4.99. It would never happen.
No.
But if you're interested in finding out more about the business, it's Team, T-E-A-M, TeamAllPossible.com.
Okay, Team All Possible. Team, T-E-A-M, All, A-L, Possible, P-O-S-S-I-B-L-E.com.
A-L-L.
Team All Possible.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because
great.
All things are possible.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, for the agents and brokers listening to it and buyers and sellers, I mean, it's a no-brainer. I do know with the solar systems that I've been involved in, again, we weren't selling the solar system, selling the property. And on listings or if we have the buyer, either way, many have been transferred over the contract. Some are already bought outright. It's always important when you're an agent or broker to find out if they do own the solar outright or if it's a lease.
Right.
So what happens if you're in this situation, if you're in the program and they go through power and they go, I want to buy it outright. I don't want to do the lease. Is that?
They can do that. We've had people do that. We've had people do that. And the panels are monitored 24/7. They are monitored. They're guaranteed for the life of, for 20 to 25 years that you're on your roof. If you decide that you don't want them on your roof anymore, you call them, they'll come out, and they'll take them off. If you decide you want to sell the house.
It doesn't mess up the roof,
No.
Does it mess up the roof? I guess, no, okay.
They guarantee your roof under those panels.
Oh, and you know, and then I don't know how much is going on now, but I've seen it over the years, the last few years, 4 or 5 years, where different states have actual rebates. If people, I don't know, I don't want to speak out of turn, if people are for tax rebates or credits, if they buy the panels.
Yeah, if especially on the where they buy the panels, they all kind of tax incentives. So one of the things that you get, again, when you do the free proposal, is that you get every piece of information that you will need to make a informed decision.
So power, the concierge are kind of making sure too, overseeing it, kind of saying, hey, we're going to connect
absolutely.
You. Why did I, you were saying that you connect with three of them. Why is it three different, is it always three companies or that you're connected
well,
with in each
we,
area
we just,
or state? Or?
We have three companies. We have a couple of companies. One of the companies, they do homes that are smaller, 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 square feet houses. And then we got a couple that like to do, specialize in larger homes. So it we try to match up the right vendor with the right person so that it's a comfortable experience for everybody.
Oh, fantastic. I love it. It's a no-brainer, right? It's almost like something you should be – I mean, you should definitely get solar. I mean, why not get – I mean, I don't know what where the, I haven't seen drawbacks with the solar. When it comes to financial side, it's different. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, I've looked and I've seen the people that the installations that I've had. I'm not getting complaints. I'm not. Everybody is talking about how they wish they had did this sometime back, but of course, sometime back they may not have been able to afford it because the kind of programs and that are available now weren't available then. But now that they are, everybody should have solar panels on their house. Now you do have houses that are blocked out from the sun. When they come out and they do the evaluation on the house,
okay.
If you have
that's
a lot of trees around your house, that's blocking the sun, then they will not put panels on your house because you're not going to get the kind of efficiency that you should be getting. So
they'll
again,
get your return on your money.
Is,
you'll be able to okay.
Right. So everything's on the up and up, and it's like I said, there was a time, if you remember back when cell phones first came out, and a few people had them, not everybody had them. And if you look today at how many people
we had
who don't
right.
have
them, and how much we paid,
so
much for them.
And that's what's going to happen with solar panels. It just makes sense. And from the environment and saving the environment, everybody can get involved and do their part. And if you can do that to help the environment and save money at the same time, it's a win-win situation.
And, you know, there's so many preppers nowadays and people trying to prepare in case there's a catastrophe. And, you know, Ted Koppel wrote the book Lights Out. I don't know if you've heard of it. And it's not to make people fearful. It's just like not if it happens, when it's going to happen, you know, with a grid issue or it could be terrorist or it could be natural. The infrastructure isn't there and all of a sudden everything's out. So it just seems like such a win-win, especially with being able to get it for such a small – the finance fee monthly is less than what your utility bill would be, right? So it just seems
absolutely.
Like such a win-win
yes.
situation.
Yeah.
And then I want to get in to find out more about the Amazon rainforest too, because I'm all about how we take what we're making and how we give back, and we always say we can't do one at a time, we can't do it, but one person can make a difference, or collectively we can make a difference, right? So
absolutely,
so
and
cool.
I'll send you some of those videos from the Pachamama lines. I mean,
okay.
It will make you stand on your head. I mean, it just blew me away. It blew me away.
Are we going to, like, quit everything and go live and live on the earth and just not worry about this other stuff anymore? I'm just kidding. You know, if we could have the satellites and still do what we do virtually and be able to make a difference, yeah, I can't wait to see it. It's amazing what a big difference. I love when you see, because when you're looking at, like, your checkpoints, you know, should I get involved with this company, this business? Excuse me. It's nice to go down the list and see that the companies are serving, that they're making a difference. I think that's
yeah, and that's
huge.
Important. Yeah.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
I need a sip of water here. So, so anything else you want to tell us? And we're at the tail end of the show, which I don't want to cut you off, and I want to hear so much more. So I'm going to get more information for sure. And get more information that we can pass out to everybody.
I would just like to say that to whoever's out there listening, especially if you're real estate agents, we have a special program and training for real estate agents. And to me, as far as real estate agents concerned, you are at the point of sale. You're there. People are buying a house from you. And it's an extended service that doesn't cost you a whole lot of time and effort. You're not selling anybody panels. Only thing you're doing is connecting that person with the vendor, and the vendor is there to do the work and take care of things. So you're not out selling panels. I don't even consider myself to be a salesman in doing this. And I just say to anybody that's out there once again that at least if you don't do anything else, get the no obligation free solar proposal. It will give you it will educate you and help you learn more about solar and how it works. If you decide you don't want it after you hear about it or get the details, there's no obligation. Nobody's going to try to hard sell you or anything.
Sure.
You know, you're free to walk away.
It's fantastic. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. And you've gone full circle all the way. It's so neat to be able to find something, too, in addition that just makes it – it's such a good system set up already. I'm all about systems.
Yes.
Wow, this is great. Well, I'll be talking to you a lot more because we want to definitely introduce this and get some And, you know, it brings to the forefront, too. I bet a lot of people listening have thought about checking out solar and just, you know, you get busy and get sidetracked. And this is good, really good. Well, Ted, thank you so much